due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another installment of the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Dickie Heyman, and man, is it cold over here. But things are heating up for the road to WrestleMania as we have just completed, as of this recording, the 2026 Royal Rumble. So let's talk to our 31, 32, and 33 entrants, starting with my man in the Big Apple, Jason Block.
It's my kosher tookus.
Whoa. Dear Uncle Paul did have some to say about that, so let's go to 32. My other co-host, Stepboy Josh Henniger.
Yeah, I know about the Frozen all too well, and to be honest, our number 33 isn't experiencing that right now.
Bad news, Beeman has some really bad news on his outdoor thermometer, sir.
Yeah, I'm starting to know what it feels like to live in Texas. It's holy shit. I pity you Texans, goddamn.
Well, I don't know, positive 100 or negative 8. I think I'm going to take -8 at this point. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
Yes, we're here to talk about the Rumble.
And to be fair, the Rumble itself, I thought the pay-per-view really delivered. I was very satisfied with what I got to see.
Mm. It did, to a point.
Yeah, it was all right. There were things I didn't like about the pay-per-view, or at least from able to read about the results and what I did get to see. The big one, it was an oops all heels night. That sucks.
That's usually what the Rumble is sometimes.
I know, it's just... I would have liked at least a token face win, so I could feel good about something, instead of tweeners and heels all night long.
What do you mean? A face won the men's Rumble?
I consider more a tweener than a face.
Acknowledge your tribal chief, anyway.
I'll acknowledge something!
DRM, goddammit. I'll acknowledge the fact that we haven't had a soundboard in over a year, and it's pissing me off.
Yes.
The Women's Royal Rumble was the better of the two Rumbles. I think I can get a consensus on that.
Yes, and Sol Ruka, from what I've understood, holy crap.
She had an amazing showing. She was, I believe she was the Iron Woman?
Yes. Much like on the men's side, I believe Javon Evans was the Iron Man over there.
I believe so.
The youngest person on the roster to boot.
And recipient of the biggest pop-up Samoan drop I have ever seen. It was beautiful. No offense, Javon.
It looks like that Charlotte Flair is the long runner on the Women's Rumble. 59 minutes, 49 seconds.
Yeah, I was about to say, because she was number one.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, but she spent about 30 of it on her ass.
Yeah, because she was putting over so many different people.
That's true. She got up, worked with somebody, didn't get eliminated. Somebody got eliminated. She could sit down for a few minutes.
Yep.
But Sol Ruka wasn't the only one who had a massive shelling. They were like literally putting a rocket ship up Lash Legend's ass.
Yes.
But I'm talking about with the Women's Rumble.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just with the Women's Rumble. just with the Women's Rumble, Lash Legend had a hell of an outing, even if the crowd wasn't terribly into her.
Oh, the poor woman got overrated, Chance. That's a bit rough, but...
Like, come on, man. This is only her second Rumble.
Exactly. How the hell can someone be overrated after their second Rumble? What the hell?
And, you know, we were getting a giggle out of the fact that she, for three of her eliminations, she was standing on the apron celebrating, so we're waiting for somebody to run up behind her and throw her out.
Mm-hmm.
So if she was that overrated, somebody should have gone over there and done the business.
Yes.
Absolutely. I was in the same boat watching friggin' Mr. Uso in the friggin' Men's Rumble go, let's run it back, and friggin' getting up on the turnbuckle and yeeting. I'm like, Cody's literally standing 2 meters away from him. I'm like, push him off, Cody.
Yeah.
Be the heel. Do it.
To be honest, somebody should have to Jey Uso, because that was a little much.
Yeah, I liked it even better.
The crowd was into it, but it was a little much. That and also...
Agreed.
It kind of distracted from somebody getting eliminated, which was like I understand why he's here, but wow, you treat him like a jabroni? Toss him out without...
Lesnar?
Yeah, tossing Lesnar out without so much as the crowd realizing it until later.
I was perfectly okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I see where Josh is coming from with it. Like, I agree to a sense. Like, yes, obviously, Lesnar's not anyone going to be on anyone's fucking Christmas list on this panel. Let's be fucking honest.
Yeah.
but still, for the amount of years that he's put in to the business to get eliminated as he did, whilst Jey, and they're mainly filming Jey coming down the fucking through the crowd. It's like, I don't like that. Sort of gives weight to how people think WWE treats their veterans.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just how they treat Brock Lesnar. It's different.
And they deserve to treat Brock Lesnar like that. I realize guilty until proven innocent, but.
I mean, it is.
Maybe I shouldn't go there.
It isn't so much about that. It's more of a. There is still a royally sour taste in my mouth because of Brock Lesnar's I hate saying this, his existence in WWE since he came back for the very first time 13, 14 years ago.
It's my 14 point. Years ago now.
Yeah.
My point.
Because they treated him like a god for that long. And I'm like, it's wrestling. If you have all give or all take and no give, it's not a fun show. It's just tedium. And that burned me out for WWE for years. And I'm getting dangerously close to burning out again.
No, I okay. Here's the problem with this. I'm seeing a lot of people saying, oh, Triple H's booking is boring. No one cares about it anymore. I'm sorry. It's not.
It's
still...
Jason, I understand, but this is my opinion. It's more of a...
No, I get you.
They still overly rely on people of the past. Instead of building the new talent up in the main roster. NXT is fine and dandy. That's not an issue. But Raw, SmackDown, right now, they still feel a bit stagnant. Because outside of Jey Uso, who kind of flopped as a main eventer in my eyes, but it's only kind of. It isn't a complete and utter, why is he there? It's just, I don't feel it. And that's the reason why I like All Elite Wrestling so much, because it still feels fresher. Although I do tire of MJF's chicanery, but that's me.
Okay. I partially agree with Josh, and I understand. I disagree.
I understand.
I partially agree because yes, you're right. Like with the as far as the main event scene is concerned, if it's not Cody Rhodes, it's Drew McIntyre. If it's not Drew McIntyre, it's Sami Zayn. If it's not Sami Zayn, it's Randy Orton. If it's not Randy Orton, it's Roman Reigns. It's just like, and same thing can be said for Raw. If it's not CM Punk, it's Gunter. Bloody Gunter. It's Gunter. If it's not Gunter, it's friggin' so on and so forth. But the part where I disagree is that we are seeing some new stars being built. Like, granted, yes, they're not being built as much as new stars on AEW, but AEW's also sort of following the WWE format a bit because, like you said, we're seeing the same guys in the main event scene. We're seeing Death Riders. They can completely fuck off. I don't care.
At this point, though, if you haven't known, the audiences are starting to take towards the Death Riders. It feels weird, but that's because Don Callis is such a dick.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that as in I hate him. It's just, I hate him in storyline. I don't want him to go away.
Okay, let's put it this way. Don Callis is the Jinder Mahal of AEW. You can put fucking anyone in the fucking ring with him. Dude, you can put any... where I was going with it, Jason, is you put anybody in the ring with him and the fans are going to cheer the other person. That's where I was going. I wasn't trying to say, like...
No, I would put him more as the Vicky Guerrero of AEW.
I like that better.
Because Vicky was a heat magnet, and so is Don Callis. Alright, anyways, I think we're getting way off in the garden path. Should we go back to the Rumble?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Yeah, this was caused by me, and I need to bring it back. So let's go back to talking about Gunter. And him retiring another person. Well...
Maybe, because while, yes, AJ passed out, he did not do the ceremonial things that go with retirement.
Mm-hmm.
He took off his gloves, thought about it.
Yeah.
Right. Thought about it and put them back on. He didn't take his boots off either.
Correct.
He's not done. He is not by a long shot.
He is not done yet, but he is done in WWE. I think his contract has ended, and he is going
will end very shortly.
Yeah, because remember, he debuted at the Rumble 10 years ago in 2016.
In one of the greatest TV technical blunders in WWE media history.
Yep. Way to go.
They
I forget the guy's name now.
And he's a multi-time WWE champion, isn't he?
He is.
For one time.
At least a few time. I don't know about multi, but I think it's at least two. Live research, everybody.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
And Triple H came out after with Royal Rumble post show and said we're gonna still have business with AJ in some capacity. So that's just hint hint wink wink TNA.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
By the way, it is two time. So yeah, I fully expect though AJ to show up at least one more time in New Japan. I think he's gonna go over there and say goodbye to them. He's going to wind up in TNA at some point or another. And then
correct.
There's
he will.
I would say possibility, but no outright guarantee that he will show up in AEW ROH, at least for a one-off.
ROH probably. AEW, I doubt it.
Okay. I mean, both are owned by the same guy, so that's the reason I'm like, maybe AEW? Maybe put him in for Dynasty in April? Or Revolution next in March?
If they're going to do anything with him, I'd say Forbidden Door.
Or that, yeah. That would work beautifully in July. July, August.
Forbidden Door would be the ultimate one. I'd love that.
Yeah. Him versus, say, Omega?
Okada?
Yeah.
Oh my god! Oh jeez!
Shut up and take my money!
Yeah. That might actually make me do something I haven't done in ages. Buy a pay-per-view. But we don't know yet. But I would fully expect he's going to be in TNA. And honestly, good chances he will be retiring at Bound for Glory.
Which isn't until October.
Yes.
That's fine.
He will probably retire. Who's current world champ over there?
That's currently Mike Santana.
Now, the thing is, what were the stats, the conditions? He must retire. Does that mean... What was the actual wording?
It would be his leave from WWE. Otherwise, why would he want to retire in front of a crowd that barely knows him?
That's my beef.
Yeah.
That is my giant beef. From a storyline perspective, I understand it. But AJ should, if he's going to retire, I want him to retire in front of his family. I want him to retire in front of more than just his WWE friends. I want him to retire somewhere that people will come from, wrestlers can come from all over the planet to come see him and say goodbye. Not.
Right, because he said, according to Wiki, he was forced to retire from in-ring competition. Again, we don't know.
Correct. Because, remember, WWE is not professional wrestling, not by its lonesome.
No. And in fact, there might be an opening for him.
Professional wrestling.
Right. Yeah. There might be an opening for him already. I mean, yep. NXT needs a general manager, don't they?
Yes, because...
Let's segue into that. Segue into that. We can't just yet. We can't just
okay.
Because we have two more matches to talk about.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Defeated Sami Zayn in 16 minutes, and honestly, that was a squash match.
Pretty much.
It was a glorified squash match, but I enjoyed the grit. And I hate using that word. Thanks, Edge. I enjoy the will and determination that Sammy had.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the way Drew McIntyre is playing with it.
Yes.
Essentially telling, at the post-show, saying, Sammy, I had a wonderful time with that match, and you should be proud. People don't get that far. You got the main event with me at a Big Four for the world title. Mm-hmm. So you lost. People don't even get to the match. Be happy with it.
I know. He is embracing his dictum.
Yes.
The nicest people make the best heels so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because have you seen him? He loves Kentas.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. But I wouldn't let him anywhere near mine. Anyway.
But here's the thing, and seriously about the Drew McIntyre, again, and we're talking about the responsibility, but it was a glorified squash match, and I didn't like the fact that it was a glorified squash match.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Not very good. But the men's Royal Rumble was quite interesting.
Yes.
Okay. Of course, you had Oba Femi as number one and Bron Breakker as number two. Okay.
I wonder if Adam Pearce wanted to do that on purpose just to say two things. One, you were one of the first two in the match, but you're not number one. And two,
but then you had
you're literally number two in my eyes.
Right. Before What's-His-Face got in the ring, Breakker got in the ring.
Yes.
A hooded man gave him a knee kick and a curb stomp. Gee, and we're thinking, oh, man, Seth lied again. He's not, you know, doing, you know, mommy and me gymnastics classes with Rue.
Yeah, we know. You know? I pretty much figured that he... I pretty much figured he was going to show up.
But maybe he
this
didn't.
Was the thing is, this was about as early as he could have.
Right. If he did
Yeah.
Well, here's the... Yeah, but here's something else we got to realize. Theory came out... When Theory came out later, he was alone.
Yeah.
Uncle Paul wasn't with him.
Because Uncle Paul was too busy slobbing a knob up Bork Lazor.
Hey, whoa! Okay.
Well, so... But this is something we have to pay attention to. He who stomped Breakker could have been Theory, could have been Seth.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'll take either one.
Somebody actually had a different opinion on who it could have been, and if this is actually the case, oh my god, that was probably the best way of doing something, because it's unexpected for me. Okay, let's think about this for a second. Yes, Seth wasn't in the match, but Seth would be completely obvious. Who else on Monday Night Raw?
Ooh!
Went to Adam Pearce, said, put me in the Rumble match. He said, all of our spots are filled.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
Oh.
To a point.
Finn Balor?
The only time I thought about...
Mr. Balor, you've got some explaining to do.
Because you notice Finn wasn't with the gals?
Yeah.
At all? Finn was not with the gals the whole... pay-per-view.
Oh boy.
Because I rewatched the footage. The person in the hooded jumper couldn't have been Theory, even though the tanning said it was Theory, but he wasn't the size of Theory. He was, if you have a look, the person is the size of Finn.
But can you see both his hands?
Yes, but that people did bring that up as well. It's like, but Finn's got tattoos on his hands. It's like, yes. Yeah, but make up
tattoos
to
all
cover
the
those up.
True, but yeah, Finn has tattoos all the way up the back of his hands. He has an astronaut on the back of one of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's only out there to stomp somebody, then yes, makeup can take care of that real quick. But the only other time I thought of Finn was when Mr. Iguana came out. I was hoping that at some point, instead of the buzzer going off, that the heartbeat would start and then Demonito would peer up from the outside of the ring.
I would have even taken that, but it was an interesting thing. I was like, oh, actually, that would be very interesting. But unfortunately, it was like whoever comes out of there second is getting it. You're getting that on site. And unfortunately, it was Breakker.
Which, I guess, was just to go... Because I think a lot of people had Breakker earmarked to win this thing.
Not necessarily. I didn't have him earmarked, but I had a pretty good feeling that he was going to go far. Instead, that went to two other guys. Obafemi, the number one guy, and Javon Evans, who came in at number 8 and was there in the ring when number 30 came out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And by the way, there was a very good sort of Black Excellence moment in there with Oba, Vaughn, and Trick, which was really nice. Okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Oba basically was the destroyer for a hot second. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Mr. Iguana at number 9. See, La Yesca. Very important. Damian Priest double choke slamming La Yesca and Mr. Iguana.
Was very happy for that. Thank you. Thank you, Damien. No offense to Mr. Iguana and or Yesca. But
right.
It had to be done like
Cody
that. There's
Rhodes
no
comes
there's
in
no
early at number 11. Okay.
I know.
Which was a little surprising to me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then we had El Grande Americano. And then El Grande Americano Original. Yay, Chad Gable.
Yes.
I was waiting. I wanted Rio and Bravo to come out and go, the hell? You know, look at each other like, so which one's our boss? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there is your WrestleMania main event, ladies and gentlemen. El Grande Americano versus El Grande Americano Original.
Yes.
That is your WrestleMania main event.
And it's nice to see Chad.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad with it.
Spider-Man meme right there.
Yep, it is quite nice to see Chad. Yeah, it is quite nice to see Chad Gable back. Because.
And yes, thank you, gentlemen, for the Spider-Man point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And at number 14 was Powerhouse Hobbs. Nope. Royce Keyes. By the way, named after his son.
Not just. Royce is the name of his youngest son. Keyes is the maiden name of his late mother.
Ooh!
Okay, that's fantastic.
Thank you, Sean Ross
fantastic.
Sapp.
Boy, so that is not a name generator by all. That
nope.
is purposeful.
That, yeah. That nope. is 100% on purpose. And I am cool with that.
I am perfectly cool okay with that. And if that dodged the name generator, even more so.
You had Austin Theory, Bronson Reed, Ilya Dragunov, who is a fucking crazy bastard.
Yeah.
Logan Paul, LA Knight, Then La Parca, the third, by the way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just so everybody knows, this was something I had to explain to everybody else that was in the call in our little dealy earlier today that we did not record. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Carl. The original La Parca mm-hmm. is the guy who you've seen in WCW, the chairman.
Correct.
Triple A. Yeah, Triple A, because they had the rights to La Parca in Mexico, created a new La Parca when the original left for WCW. People keep thinking that the original La Parca is dead. He's not. La Parca the second is dead. He died about 5 years ago in 2020. The original that we all knew and love is still wrestling to this day. And he can be found down there. And then in various Mexican independents. And La Parca 3 is the one you just seen tonight. Or today.
Okay.
Okay. Then we had Dragon Lee, Logan Paul, LA Knight.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar, who was eliminated by both Cody and LA Knight. And that was a weird camera. That reminded me of the Drew... Drew Damian Priest angle from last year. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
And then Miz, Rey Fénix, Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, Taker Fatu, Penta, Randy Orton, and Gunther.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, Sold brilliantly, by the way.
Yes.
Loved how he sold. He sold that he was battered. He wasn't 100%. And he was, you know, really good, really well done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And he didn't. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and he didn't seem all that heartbroken that he didn't win the Rumble. I mean, that would have been nice, but he had accomplished what he originally came there to do, and that was to piss everybody off and retire AJ Styles.
Yep.
Right. So now, here comes the questions, okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one that's very obvious, one that sort of isn't obvious, okay? The obvious one is where Liv Morgan's going to go. She's going to face Stephanie Vaquer.
Yeah.
Potentially, if Raquel doesn't win the belt from Stephanie this Monday on Raw.
Triple threat.
Because
it's fine.
Aren't they doing a street fight for the title?
It's a Philadelphia street fight, so Liv could just jump right in.
What you mean for Raw next week?
Yeah, Raw. This upcoming Raw is going. I'm pretty sure Stephanie Vaquer is versus Raquel Rodriguez in a street fight for the women's title. So
that's the only card that's official right now. Only match that's official right now.
Yeah, so they'll probably set up Raquel versus Liv potentially. But yeah.
Because we don't know how Raquel took the fact that Liv dumped her.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
We'll know that and the fact.
And by the way, if they turn Liv face, she's going to be a superstar. Not that she isn't already. Right?
Yeah. She can. But I think they're...
Yeah.
I think she's ready to be face. Mm-hmm. Even if she screeches like friggin' Daphne Unger.
I know. I love it. But the more interesting question, Ms. Heyman, where does the tribal chief go?
My answer was planning to be Sammy, because I was hoping that Sammy would be able to pull this off. I understand that Drew hasn't been champion long, but this would have fit into his conspiracy narrative.
Correct.
And Sammy Roman Reigns is a WrestleMania-worthy match.
Yes.
That being said, Roman can either go after Drew for the easy target, or he goes after Punk regarding past business.
Well, actually, it's funny that you bring that up, Nikki, because regardless of what happened in the WWE Championship match, there was going to be continuity three ways, because if Sammy won. Okay. Roman versus Sammy. Sammy might finally get his get back with the bloodline situation and gets a shot at Roman one-on-one. Drew, that he has past history with Roman because of when the bloodline were in their epic era and had all the gold pretty much and were running riot.
Yep.
And making Drew and other people's lives hell. And then you've got Punk, who they have history with because of War Games. So either way, we're getting continuity.
Yeah.
So that's way up in the air. And I noticed that our tribal chief didn't attend the post-show.
Although it kind of felt like with how things wound up in the Rumble, because Cody was ultimately eliminated by Drew, even though Drew was not part of the match.
Exactly. Which actually brings us to another question. Because of what Triple H has stated, with Elimination Chamber, with the pay-per-view coming up, with whoever wins each Elimination Chamber can go after whatever champion they want for a WrestleMania main event. Could we potentially see maybe either Drew versus Cody again, or even potentially a triple threat between Drew, Roman, and Cody? So we will essentially get Cody, Roman 3, but with an extra.
Yes.
Any of those are good, and it's nice to have all that wiggle room. I'm sure Hunter's happy he's got that kind of wiggle room.
Mm-hmm. So who do you think the celebrity is going to be involved? Do we think we get Jelly Roll again?
Let me see something real quick.
We're in Vegas?
What?
They're in Vegas.
Yes, they are in Vegas, but is Jelly Roll on tour this year? And if so, where?
Okay.
As of right now, no. Jelly Roll only has one event between now and WrestleMania, and that is in mid-March in Hermosillo, Mexico, for the La Cura Fest. He doesn't have anything else until mid-May. So, there's a possibility.
Are there any big stars who like any big musicians who live in Vegas?
What?
There should be plenty. Quite a bit. Because I would assume the bit who... Rihanna, I believe, is the biggest
You also remember, Jericho is coming back, we don't know when.
Yes.
Oh, the crowd was a little miffed about that, but at least Hunter saw a head on that and put Gunther in 30, so he could be legitimately booed.
Yeah.
Mm.
Unlike what happened to poor Rey Mysterio 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because Fozzy right now has the Twisted Faith tour, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's in May, and that's in your neck of the woods for May 14th, actually. A place called the Sonic Temple.
I'm interested. I just don't know what my situation is going to be by that point. I'm so sure I can make proper arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
I've already seen him twice. I mean,
but I'm asking you: do you, first of all, do you think he's signed yet? No, I don't. Do you?
He would have appeared by now. So I think honestly, they're just playing around.
Actually, gentlemen.
What's up?
Gentlemen. Let me point something else out to you.
Okay.
Where is Elimination Chamber this year?
February 28th.
Yes.
Where?
They are in Shawtown.
Okay. What big event happened in Chicago about 25 years ago?
Oh, the countdown to the millennium?
It'll be 27 coming up here later on this year.
So, wouldn't that be a great place for Jericho to show up? I mean, it's cutting it close for Mania, I know. But... Yeah.
It would, he would also be just finished up with his swing over in England, which is going to be starting up. Well, this coming Friday, February 6th in Brighton, and that goes through February 21st in Wolverhampton.
Ta-da!
Okay, Jason, let me throw something out to you, real quick.
Sure.
Because this might actually fit into a bit of a crossover situation. Because this is sounding eerily similar to something that happened in the career mode with 2K25.
Oh.
There was an elimination chamber match, and then there was one chamber that was completely blacked out. You couldn't see who was inside it. This is the one chance where WWE has a chance to make the game a reality. Have the Elimination Chamber match. Say, well, guess what? One of those chamber spots is already filled. So we just need five of the guys, the six participants in the blackout box. Countdown, literally countdown, and then revealed it's Jericho.
I'm down.
If Jericho wins that Elimination Chamber match, then you have potentially Punk versus Jericho for the World Heavyweight Championship at Mania.
Ooh, that'd be fun. There's some continuity there too.
Yeah.
Punk probably still has beef with Jericho about the feud they had.
Yes.
I'll stop talking about your dad. Your sister, however.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's also got this new role on an Apple TV series called Margo Has Money Troubles.
Ah, the one with Elle Fanning in it. Right.
And Nicole Kidman, yes.
Yes.
That debuts April 15th on Apple TV. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, and we're going to get Hall of Fame people.
Yes.
Soon. Have you heard any rumors about that?
No.
Not yet.
Not even.
I was going to say, so far, the front runner is Stephanie, isn't it? She's the only one that's been announced.
It's got to be Cena, though, right?
Yeah.
Someone did do a graphic, like a fan-made graphic of what they thought 2026's Hall of Fame was going to look like. And I wasn't mad at it, to be honest with you. I'm pretty sure it had Stephanie on there because she's the only confirmed one so far. Then you had Cena. The Hardys for tag team. China.
No, they're not going to do all. They're not going to shoot their load in this one. No, it's got to be balanced, don't you think?
Why not yet?
Something up, and it actually seems pretty balanced.
Okay.
Cena being the headliner, with of course Stephanie there too.
Mm-hmm.
William Regal, Victoria,
ooh. Yay,
Psycho Sid, and Demolition.
I don't hate that.
That would be interesting. But right now, that's just thoughts. Nothing more, nothing less.
Still, I don't hate it.
Yeah. We'll definitely start learning more in the next few weeks, though.
We will. We're also setting up. I mean, AEW's is got Brody King feuding with MJF right now.
Yep.
MJF's also going on the indies a little bit too. You know, he's made a few indie appearances.
Yeah, he did, and he actually defended the big, beautiful his big Burberry belt. I'm not calling it the other one because I'm not going to drive myself even crazier than usual.
Mm. But Nikki, we have huge video game news.
We do,
but it feels like you skipped over something.
What did I skip?
Who debuted in AEW this week?
Oh, yes! Right. Okay. So, Mark Briscoe had an open challenge for his title.
Yes, which is going on today on Collision.
Right. Well, no. That happened on Wednesday. Just hear me out. Then all of a sudden, he's like, anybody in the back, you want to challenge me? Go right ahead. Lights go down.
Sorry, I was meaning the match.
Sabu! Okay. No. Oh, wait.
No. Lights go on the left. Words psycho, right word killer, and Tommaso Ciampa debuts for AEW.
Shortly after and to his be fair, contract expired.
And
literally the
And just to put it out there on SmackDown, while he was not mentioned by name, he got the friendly departure.
Yes.
The semi-friendly departure. Talking about Gargano dealing with Fraxium, it was said on commentary, you know, Gargano's in this downward spiral. He doesn't have a partner anymore.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
And just a note and an update from tonight's Collision. Tommaso Ciampa has won the TNT Championship, beating Mark Briscoe.
Oh, okay.
And Kyle Fletcher's awesome. Coming up for him next.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. And by the way, Tommaso Ciampa has, he said, and I quote, I have nothing bad to say about him. There's no hard feelings.
That's what I mean. That's why they gave him pretty much the friendly departure. He might come up again next week.
Yeah.
So, they might have thought mentioned him by name, but they're still going to say something about him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, He said, it's something I've been leaning... This is from... He told the Takedown on Sports Illustrated. It's something I've been leaning towards for quite some time. I don't can say there's one sole factor that led to it or caused it. I think it's one of those things when your contract is coming to an end, you naturally have discussions. Those discussions started at home with his wife and daughter. They collectively sat down in family and discussed where the place would be for Tommaso to continue his professional wrestling career. And ultimately, the difficult decision was made to part ways with WWE after a decade-long tenure. If I wrestled in the 90s, I'd want to be part of ECW. Early 2000s, you want to be part of Ring of Honor. I was lucky I got to do that a little bit. 2010s, I think for me at least, I want to be part of NXT Black and Gold. And I looked at the landscape of professional wrestling in the 2020s. The answer was AEW, man. That's what I want to be a part of. And good for him, really. Okay?
Yeah.
Honestly, he had a great, you know, he had a great run. But honestly, I think AEW is a better fit for him. I really do. He's more of a wrestler.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I think.
And now he's got the belt.
Ricochet found his niche. Ricochet's found his niche.
Yeah, he's bald.
Yep. Yeah, yes, but he's found his niche, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's bald. Oops, I'm not helping.
Yeah.
He found his niche of being a douche, so yes. That's...
Yes, exactly.
And it works.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But nicest
people make the best heels. Go on.
I know he's playing a part, but I also don't want him going down Bret Hart Avenue and just being that vindictive guy that fucking keeps constantly going after WWE, because I see it on his
neck
a lot of the time.
Trump is not
going to
do Ricochet might.
Yeah, Ricochet might.
What he meant?
Oh,
that's what I meant. Ricochet. I'm talking about Ricochet, not Ciampa. I know Ciampa won't do that because Triple H looked after him in NXT. I think Ciampa just realized where his ceiling was with the main roster, and he said, well, that's not my fucking ceiling, and he's gone to AEW to prove WWE wrong.
Fair.
Correct.
So, but yeah. No, Ricochet needs to take the WWE name out of his mouth and just enjoy where he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because as soon as AJ retired, he's on there going, "Oh, was it when AJ retired?" Or no, when they were talking about AJ potentially retiring. It's like, oh no, you can keep that. You can keep that old man over there. We don't need him over here. I'm just like, Jesus, dude.
The fuck.
Yeah.
Shut up. Shut the tweet
now
up.
Now I just want him to go over to AEW and beat the ball off of him.
Yeah. Yes. Indeed.
Actually.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But okay. So. We finally have all the editions of the WWE 2K26.
Yes.
Okay. And I have them in expensive order.
Okay? In terms of cheapest to most expensive.
Correct. Yes. Okay. First one is the standard edition with our cover boy of da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Pay attention to me!
To me!
Second time he's gonna be on part the cover.
Correct.
Right. But the CM Punk is also going to have a CM Punk showcase edition.
Yes.
Okay. Where
and if you go ahead.
Yes. Narrated by him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. According to a source, we have also a what if section.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's going to be narrated by CM Punk himself. Okay, supposedly there are two matches confirmed so far: CM Punk Rey Mysterio Armageddon 08, CM Punk Undertaker WrestleMania 29. Okay,
and given what else we have seen in the trailer, we're also probably going to have ROH Punk in there somewhere. Maybe against Samoa Joe. Maybe against AJ. Maybe against somebody else.
Maybe against Tyler Black.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd pay real money for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the base edition includes the Joe Hendry pack.
Yes, as long okay. as you pre-order. If you do not pre-order,
yes.
no Joe Hendry for you.
That's because you right, have to say his
that
name
would be you get a cosmetic item, an Evo card, and a Spin Island emote. Okay, and then we have the one with the great commercial with Paul Heyman and Triple H. The one, did you see that one, Nikki? The one where he's following around the office.
Yeah, trying to get everybody on the vision on the to be the cover athlete. While Hunter's just not patiently listening.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Till they get to the lobby.
Right, and there is the King of King editions. So, you get, if you order this, okay, which is $99.99, this is all, by the way, the regular edition comes out a week after all the other deluxe editions, okay? The King of Kings includes the base game, the Ringside Pass Premium Season 1, 32,000 virtual currency, the Joe Hendry pack we talked about, and the King of Kings edition pack, which is Triple H 98 and Stephanie McMahon 2000. Okay? Then we have the Attitude Era edition. Okay? That's $129. Okay. $99. You get the base game, the Ringside Pass Premium Seasons 1 through 4. Just 16 new DLC.
Yes.
32,500 virtual currency. Superstar Mega Burst, which is 100,000 for your virtual currency, and 200 My Superstar attribute points for My Rise. And the Joe Hendry pack, the King of King of Kings edition pack, and the Attitude Era edition pack, which includes playable superstars of The Rock in 99, Kane of 98, and China of 97. My Faction Evo cards of Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rattlesnake, and The Rock, and The People's Champ. The Raw is War 98 arena, and the Island emotes Undertaker thumb across the neck, and the Shawn Michaels DX crop shop. But if you want all of it, you need to get the Monday Night War edition, okay? That is $150. That includes base game, all DLC superstars for seasons 1 through 6, Virtual Currency, the Mega Boost, the Joe Henry Pack, the King of Kings Edition Pack, the Attitude Era Edition Pack, and the Monday Night War Edition Patch, which includes Shawn Michaels DX, Macho Man Randy Savage 98, and Rowdy Roddy Piper 98, the WC Thunder 98 Arena, the Island Emote of Dallas Bang, okay, and a WrestleMania, right, and the WrestleMania 42 Pack, which includes the arena and three tiers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the ringside pass, here's how this is going to work. There's 60 free tiers and 40 premium tiers will be available to reward gameplay. And for players who can reach tier 40 of the ringside premium season available to unlock superstars, BC, My Faction, Island Contact, and more. The ringside pass premium replaces the DLC model, rewarding players with all new playable characters not available in the base roster, including superstars, legends, etc. You can...
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. We now join our regularly scheduled program, already in progress.
Yeah, so it's the Monday Night War edition. So yeah, it's got
the entitlement for WrestleMania 42, which includes the arena and three superstar persona cards. I'm like,
yes, and you get everything else. Every other pack that Jason mentioned comes with the Monday Night War edition. So basically, if you want everything in a nice silver bow, get yourself the Monday Night War edition. So save up.
Yeah. And of course, there will be a few few matches going to 2K26. Some brand new, some coming back after years. Mm-hmm. The I Quit match that used to be just Breaking Point or something along those lines. It's a little different though.
You have more details on the other matches, right?
Yes. The Inferno match, okay, cool. Which is pretty obvious because the Inferno match is the Inferno match, and that has been done before. The Dumpster mm-hmm. match, which it, for all intents and purposes, is just a reskin of a casket match in this game. And the Three Stages of Hell. What? The only question is it going to be a... You choose which three you do, or is it going to be three that they decide? I don't know.
If it's anything like the older games, you got to pick your matches.
Okay.
But it wasn't the Buried Alive match being returned as well?
Wouldn't surprise me, but I didn't see anything about that.
I did appreciate the fact that they advertised the dumpster match with Chelsea.
Yep.
Of course they did. I love that. I saw that. The commercial was great.
And the speculation about ROH Punk, well, the shot that I think I saw was rather Punk-sistential.
Yes. Modern Punk across the ring from about 2004 Punk.
Yeah, where he was still blonde, he hadn't had his chest done yet.
Mm-hmm. And he was wearing his white shorts.
Mm-hmm. That made me sit up.
But one thing that Jason did bring up with reading out all these game things is the ringside pass. So this is not going to be like past games where you are going to just be able to buy your DLC characters. This one, it's like any other game that you've played that has battle passes. You're going to have to work to level up and get specific rewards. Also, the DLC characters.
I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep it more towards more towards like a Call of Duty type of thing.
They're trying to keep the whales from taking over the whole online part of it.
Yeah.
You mean rich people who can just buy their way through?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, realistically, they can just do the same. They can do the same thing even with a ringside pass, because they, if it's anything like any other battle passes, you can just buy the levels.
Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting to see the actual commercial.
That's true. Yeah, overall. Commercial.
Let me see. WWE.
I was going to say, didn't the actual commercial get played during Rumble?
Well, no, that's just the gameplay commercial. I'm talking about the one with the wrestlers.
The movie version, if you will.
Ah, right. Okay.
Because Roman was on the cover last year. Yeah, there it is.
Mm-hmm. They'll be revealing more videos over the coming weeks. There's always a few. There's a few ones that get to play early.
Yep.
And show things like My Rise mode and the My Faction and My GM and everything else. So.
And that'll all be coming out just after Elimination Chamber, March 6th, for those who get the pre-order top higher tiers, and March 13th for everybody else. And it will be all modern consoles, including the Switch 2.
Wow. Nice, but not PS4 anymore.
Correct.
PS5 only, I believe.
Yeah, PS5, so Xbox Series, PC, and Switch 2.
Mm-hmm. So I ask you, Nikki, what is your favorite WWE video game commercial?
Mine is still the fancy dress ball that falls apart into a ballroom blitz.
Okay.
That's
for 2K20, right?
It was 2K20 or 21.
Okay.
That's the one that always comes to mind for me. The fact that, you know, that one or the one where they're all over the headquarters talking about the game. And
be...
Yeah, that's okay. My sword! That's my bloody sword! That's my bloody sword! When they were doing something at headquarters, everybody was there, and Uncle Paul and Roman drive by, and Roman's has Angela with him.
Uh-huh.
And Drew gets mad. I think that turned into a chase. Yeah.
I also like the one, you know, when Dean was still there, the downtown, when he came out of the garbage can.
Mm. Oh, you mean when he threw somebody in the dumpster?
Yeah, that one.
I have a still of that. I'm keeping a still of that, because that is just perfect. Very Dean, very Mox. Very nice.
Yeah, it's just... And also, I like the one where when they were in L.A. and Cody was fighting The Miz on the roof. John Cena was on the cover. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
A But again, we'll see, because I know they filmed it at WWE headquarters this time around. And I believe the Vision was involved. So, yeah, I think it's soap selling time, don't you think?
Yes. Shane, do you have anything to promote?
Nope, other than just if you want to follow me for more wrestling reviews and such, you can follow me on TikTok at Aussie Asshole. And I've actually just got my Royal Rumble review up today, so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Me, Josh, you and Nikki are invited this next Sunday, not tomorrow, but on the 8th.
Yep.
Because we are having a live watch along for the BS Big Show.
Yes.
For Super Bowl 60 between the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks, with Bad Bunny as your halftime entertainment. And some of the commercials have been out already, and they have been underwhelming.
Yeah.
Including William Shatner with a poop joke about Raisin Bran. So,
not a surprise.
Okay, that's, and of course, you for saving me 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Could they call him William Shat instead of Shatner?
That's Don't just crazy.
Lovely.
Yes.
It was a thing, Josh?
This week on It Was a Thing on TV, things got a little weird. Because the normal episode that would have been up this week, which would have been a revisit to Get a Life, the early 1990s Chris Elliott show, wound up getting postponed because, unfortunately, the podcast, well, Mike's computer went... And what he tried to record on corrupted the file severely. So, this week instead, they did cover, or they did do a bonus podcast concerning, or something that came out of You're in the Picture from last week, which was Mike tries Arthur Treacher's for the first time in 30 years.
Okay.
I don't know if you know what Arthur Treacher's is, Jason or Nikki.
I do. It's a fish and chip shop that got me sick. Because they fry in peanut oil.
It's a fish and chips place that used to be the absolute bomb at my hometown mall. Their hush puppies were awesome.
Yeah, they have almost completely went away, but nowadays there are like 3 or 4 of them. Total. It was down to just 2 or 1 at some point. But they're now back up to 3 or 4, 3 of which are in the greater Cleveland area and 1's in western New York. But yeah, he went to Arthur Treacher's for the first time in 30 years. He said it was okay. The last time I was at an Arthur Treacher's was 2019. It was alright. It was comparable to Long John Silver's. Which is also just okay. So yeah, he did that, and then next week, who knows, I don't. You can find all of that on itwasathingontv.com. Jason, WLTI?
Yes. We are talking about RuPaul's Drag Race. The Jeopardy! Tournament of Champions final is set. We talk about the traitors, and we talk about the fact that Survivor... Idol State, the Survivor50Challenge.com is on. You find your own state, and if you take a picture with the idol, you are entered to win a trip to the Survivor finale of 50, which debuts in about a month. So, very cool about that. And we shall see. Mm-hmm. Definitely shall see.
Yeah.
And Nikki, your artist shout-out, please?
Oh, absolutely. Obligatory shout out, of course, to Jamie Cloutier, wherever you are, dear. I hope you're well. Also, obligatory shout out to Oni Wanbashu. We miss you, Oni. But if you like her artwork, check her out. She has a card account for commissions. You see if the singleton actually let me write into my messages. See, James Diatto put out there. Get his handle here. At James Diatto, his commissions are open. Go to his thing. Wrestling and video games is his shtick. Definitely check him out. His prices are pretty reasonable. Did an awesome Mox Existential picture for me a couple years ago. Definitely check him out. Let's see. Dozer Draws at Little Dozer Baby. If you're looking for something a little softer, a little more wholesome, definitely somebody to look into. He is a little on the expensive side, but I've been very satisfied with the work he's done for me. Mm-hmm. If you like anime in your wrestling artwork, check out Otanad on Instagram and Nahul Tajes at N_EDV on Twitter. If you're having trouble finding Otanad, go to Twitter, go to at Heyman Hustle. You'll probably find a bunch of them there. In fact, I'm sure Otanad has already got a comic up about Roman winning the Rumble. Wouldn't surprise me anyway. Mm-hmm. Nahul Tajes is probably one of the least expensive guys out there. Very easy to work with, very quick turnaround. Check him out. If you want an artist who's also a wrestler, Topla at D_Topla. She's fairly inexpensive and probably a great bet if you are a Budesu person. To that, she does chibi artwork. She'll design gear for you. She can design logos and t-shirts for you. Very reasonable rates. And if you're not familiar with her artwork, go watch Abachamania. I'm going to step out to Supercard for a moment. The Royal Rumble 25 rarity has dropped.
Six. Right?
Yeah. Yes, the 26. And let me pull up my account here real quick. Come on. I hate Watch Party. And it's only been active for 4 days, but let me tell you about the cards I already have in that rarity. JC Mateo, soon to be a pro. Jey Uso, Asuka, Triple H. Randy Orton, special edition, soon to be a pro. Santos Escobar, Nikki Cross, Thea Hale, and a Universe support. They've got a couple of special events going on, along with a Giants Unleashed weekend event starring Kit Wilson. Always still a game that takes up most of my time, although there's a couple other games that are taking my attention, which means I really need to get outside. But back to the art. If you love fan art, find a good artist, pay them well, get work in progress, tip, and post everywhere. But make sure you credit the artist and link back to all their accounts so that those of us who say, hey, that art is awesome, can go find that artist and say, hey, can you just do something awesome for me? And hopefully we can chase away the rest of the AI bots, but we can't get rid of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have too much else to say because I'm right here. So for Bad News Beeman, for Stat Boy Josh Henniger, for the Man in the Big Apple, Jason Block, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune in next week as we start formally on the road to WrestleMania and make sure your ones are high in the air.